Welcome to the Learning Loop's first Inside Education 4.0 podcast, in which we'll be bringing you updates about our innovative work to ensure you stay in the loop. So cozy up, sit back and relax as we give your mind food for thought. In this episode, we speak to entrepreneur Anne Widdup, discussing how she looped into VR. Anne takes us on a tour of the pivotal points in her life that fueled her passion for digital innovation and disruptive technologies. In the last year, the pandemic has firmly placed technology into the spotlight. Across all sectors and industries, digital transformation has taken hold. This has quite clearly been the case in the education and training sectors. Indeed, we've seen a lot of media attention given to a disparate online learning experiences in both the HE and FE sectors, highlighting the need for an improved application of digital technologies in training and education. Furthermore, in a 2020 LinkedIn report, soft skills were cited by employers as essential to business performance, placing them on a parity with hard skills. IMRAC's Global Soft Skills Training Market Report forecasts an increased expenditure across multiple industries in the space, firmly planting soft skills on the learning and development agenda for both industry and education. Echoing this are recent exploratory studies and case study examples by PwC, Mersion and SpeechVR. Responding to this work and latest trends, Anne Widdup founded Fuse Tech Services and more recently The Learning Loop, a cutting-edge startup training and education company building innovative hybrid models of soft skills training utilising VR. Anne, a very warm welcome to this podcast. How are you doing?
Hi, thanks for interviewing me, Laura. Yeah, really excited to be talking about this subject. Can never spend enough time talking about VR. It's just
absolutely
so amazing.
Yeah, so we're seeing a lot of changes in terms of obviously industry focus and the importance of soft skills. And sort of you've turned now to looking at kind of the Learning Loop and VR and soft skills training. What was it? Were you interested in virtual reality before these shifts came about? Is it something that you've always been passionate about?
I think I've always been interested in technology. So emerging technologies, I've always kind of kept up to date with new technologies. So looking at VR, augmented reality, it's just something that's interested me. Looking at artificial intelligence, any developments that are going on in computer science, I find quite fascinating. So you know, it was kind of quite natural for me to be drawn to this subject. And because we already run a training academy, and especially with what's happened with COVID, it just seemed to me it was a natural fit to try and do something with virtual reality that offered people a better service, a better solution. So yeah absolutely.
Sure. So what says a bit about your kind of your background, and where you said there that you're always interested in sort of technology. Where's that sort of interested stem from?
Too old to didn't even have computers when I was a child. So So I got involved in the computer industry way back in the early days in the I hate to say it, but probably the mid 80s when. Like I first learned to program an assembler. So programming microchips. So the MC 68000, no less. So basic assembler language. So I mean that's where my career in computing started. It was right back in the early days when the mainframes were half the size of your house, you know.
What kind of got you interested in sort of your early work, like programming and that time? Was it sort of, were you always sort of ahead of the game and sort of leading the way? Did that kind of appeal to your type of personality? Or what was it that led you to that kind of?
I guess the kind of journey started when I was at university, because I was planning to major in maths, but computing science was a really new subject at the time at uni, and I thought, I'm sure there's something in these computers, you know. The World Wide Web was just emerging around that time, and we had some systems in the university that allowed, but well, that's where the web started, within the university environment. So I thought, I think I'll switch and do computing science, because it's fascinating. There's a whole new world emerging here, and computers were not widespread at all in business or anywhere really. Computers didn't exist. So
I guess parodies between that, like you've just said, the computers weren't that widespread. Anyway, they weren't widespread. They weren't sort of common or widely adopted at that time. Yet here we are, 2021. Most people have got a computer. We still have the digital divide. Some people still don't have computers, but by and large, you know, it's generally accepted that people do have some access to technologies like a computer or tablet. How, with the virtual reality, since sort of Palmer Luckey brought in Oculus in 2013, the technology is still relatively quite new. I guess it's not as widely spread or not as mainstream as we kind of, you know, it's sort of back to your roots, really, pun the pun, back into the loop, back to those early days when people didn't have that many computers. Would you kind of see that parody as well? And looking at that, what do you think the future could be for virtual reality?
Think about how you can utilize that technology in the real world environment. And it's not just an experience that you want to give people, it's knowledge transfer, it's skills, it's a host of other things that VR can bring to it. So I think it's having had a whole career in both technology and also in many years teaching as well, it's bringing all that experience to bear and looking at this new technology and saying, well, how can this fit with the world that we live in now? And I think it's important that there are people involved who also have a strong ethical background in this, because technology can take us in dangerous directions as well. So I think I'm very keen that we have the right advocates working in these fields to look at how we apply this technology in an ethical way, in a safe way, in a digitally inclusive way as well. That's part of who I am, and that's partly what drives me to work in this field.
Yeah, absolutely. So looking back, you mentioned there your sort of teaching career. So where were you lecturing, or what sort of teaching?
Did a couple of things. I taught at university in Scotland for a while, postgraduate computing courses. But I also, after leaving there, I set up a women's technology centre in Scotland as well to help women from disadvantaged backgrounds upskill and enter the computing market. So that was really successful. I was involved in that for nearly 12, 13 years until the funding got removed. But and that was extremely worthwhile. I believe several of the women went on to have great careers afterwards, who had previously been stacking supermarket shelves. So, I see technology as a real enabler.
Empowering.
It is really empowering, I think, for people from disadvantaged backgrounds. I think if they get the right coaching and training at the right time, then it opens up amazing careers to them, and really, you know, well paid jobs as well.
So when you were back sort of teaching, were you using much technology? I know you were teaching sort of programming, but did you apply technology in any of sort of your teaching practice, or was it like, you know, just largely because you were teaching sort of programming?
Yeah, it was really
Moodle.
There was nothing like that. Goodness, no. Basically, it was basic database program, Boolean algebra, Pascal. So there wasn't anything like that. We're talking about mid 90s. So, you know, desktop computers were still in their relatively early days, really. So, you know, and the amount of computing power that you had was you know, people just wouldn't believe these days how much computing power you had. Not a lot.
Reflecting back, maybe your sort of teaching career and now going into this new innovation that you're working in now, how have you seen technology penetrate the education and training sector? Because I know you've got the training academy as well ready for your UCAP, so I think.
Yeah. Well, I don't think technology is really that pervasive in education, to be honest, from what I see. What I can see is that a lot of e-learning, online learning courses, they're basically just a click through websites where you're fairly uninteresting and unimaginative. I guess I've developed some of that as well. So I think that's what I find really fascinating about VR, is that it opens up so many more avenues to you to be creative, rather than just asking candidates or students to watch videos and read documents. You can actually get them involved and engaged directly with the material that you're teaching, like you would in a real life situation.
Absolutely, I think that's really key when you're looking at the graduates and workforce of tomorrow, and looking at the way that you've got artificial intelligence being introduced into the workplace, that we are starting to see some work job roles are being automated. But one of the things that we can't do, I guess, is you can never replace a human being with technology, thank goodness.
Absolutely.
That kind of heightens the importance of soft skills training, and I know that's something that the Learning Loop is really keen on. What's your take on the value of soft skills? I know we've got sort of new PwC reports, LinkedIn reports as well, that reflect that. How do you feel? How do you see soft skills?
I think they're absolutely critical to the modern workforce. I also think that it's something that there'll be a lot more focus on in the future, and that people who haven't been trained well in communications and teamwork and problem solving, it hampers your employees. So I think they're absolutely critical to the modern workforce, that they have more of those skills, and even more important in a digitally connected world, because we don't have, there's unnatural barriers now put in front of us, which is the technology, actually, because we're all sitting at home working away. So actually, to train people in soft skills to think about how they overcome those barriers to communicate more effectively with people is even more important now than it's ever been, because we don't have the luxury of working to co-locate with people and work together in the same room or learn in the same room, and that may not change for some time.
Yeah, and I think kind of the generations coming up behind, like you've got the millennials and generation, I think it's Z, they have been grown up and brought up on technology, and there's a suggestion that perhaps their social skills are not as well developed as they could be to function well in that workplace. And I think you raised an important point about, you know, the over-reliance almost on technology to the expense and to the detriment of these softer skills, which can easily be overlooked, and hard skills are more sort of prioritised. And maybe they're going to see a shift in education programmes of the future, maybe more emphasis and bringing out of soft skills and more opportunities for students to develop those, as well as those people in existing job roles. So I think it's really intriguing and a really exciting piece of work that Learning Loop is involved with. So tell us about your team then. Who have you got in the team?
Oh, we've been assembling an amazing team of people. So I'm so excited. We've got yourself, Laura, who's working with us, which is great. And your background in education, your interest and passion for VR, and your ideas that you bring are fabulous.
Thank you very much.
I think we've also got Jack Nil. So Jack comes from a film background, creative design, graphic design. He's worked on some big sets in terms of film production.
Yeah, incredible.
He's also very adept in technology, teaching himself programming skills, imaginative. So he brings a whole angle of creativity in film and CGI, all sorts of things that Jack can bring to the table.
Absolutely.
We've got George McLean, whose background is in leadership and development in big companies, HR. So George has spent decades training people. He's got a vast amount of experience in that area. And also, you know, working with big companies and corporates. We've also got Amy Moyes, who is a web designer, graphic designer. Again, very talented, great imagination.
Yeah.
And we have got Callum Hall, who's a recent graduate, first class honours degree in maths.
Amazing.
Computer genius. there's no problem that we can't throw at him that he can't go figure it out and fix it. So he's a great addition to the team as well. In addition to that, we've got the rest of the team in Fuse Tech Services. Laura, who comes from a retail background, but yeah. Customer service and operations, business operations, it's at the heart of everything she does. She's running her business for us. And Morag, who's a co-director. Morag originally qualified in software engineering and had a varied career in design, but then joined me in the company almost 10 years ago. So she brings a vast experience of business and design and computing as well. So who have I missed out? We've also got Peter Russell, who's our digital marketing creative person, knows everything to do with Facebook and Google Analytics. So we've got a real mix of people in the team with quite diverse range of skills. So, you know, I'm surrounding myself with a passionate, enthusiastic team who really want to make a difference, who all share the same outlook and ethics in terms of what we're doing. So
absolutely. And I think we're planning for our listeners as well to plan a little bit of a sort of profile podcast for each team member as well. So you should look out for those more in-depth into chats, which would be really interesting, I'm sure, and or unveil our sort of individual reasons for getting involved in this amazing work and project. So if you had a magic wand, how would you like to see VR applied in the future within training and education?
Well, I think it's a combination of augmented reality, virtual reality, personal coaching, where you can bring different modes and methods, a hybrid learning to be, so that you can really engage with the material that you're trying to teach. You know, just as an example, you know, I'd like every single lesson in a classroom to feel like a field trip. It's a kind of shorthand way of trying to illustrate what you could do with children is actually take them to the places that you want to teach them about. You just imagine opening up history to be able to take the kids to any period in history to actually feel like what it was like to be in a gladiatorial arena, or, you know, if it was geography, take them to different places in the world, to really bring the subjects to life in a way that we've never been able to do before. So that's my vision of the future.
And I think that chimes in with sort of digital pedagogy as well, that kind of DISC have been looking at. And I think it's the way that children, young people, university students, college students have been educated at home remotely. I think that there is a huge opportunity, and it's an area that is, you know, desperate for some innovation and to increase that immersion, because what we need to do as a society is to ensure that we're producing people which are work ready, they're effective in the workplace, and that comes from high quality immersive training that in many ways is better than in-person training, certainly in the space of soft skills, because you cannot replicate you're limited to how much you can replicate in terms of role play or face-to-face training. When you've got VR, it's endless. The possibilities are endless. I think I share that kind of vision as well, really.
Well, absolutely, Laura. And I think, you know, the research that's been done and research I've looked at just shows how VR can boost students' academic performance. And it can also help. It's really applicable to help people with learning difficulties. And there's a lot of barriers you can overcome with VR. So VR can also help improve concentration, students' memory. I mean, the research that's been done is out there to demonstrate what you can actually do with this technology.
And I think as well, for the first time, we can teach empathy. Body swaps, you know, and seeing things from different perspectives, which, I mean, that's an incredible superpower to be able to do, and makes for a more cohesive, joined up society, I think. And I think it's can really contribute socially to a more cohesive, joined up and more supportive unit, which might be a nice way to move forward on from this pandemic, terrible time that we've had, as sort of a beacon of light in the future that we can all kind of look forward to.
I absolutely agree, Laura. I think now even more than ever, we need people to live in each other's shoes a little bit more, or walk in each other's shoes, should I say, because there's far too much there's too many tribes being created in our society. You know, you just look at what's happened in America in terms of people, the divided country that it's become, because people don't empathize or don't understand each other. So I think the technology we've got has played a part in creating division, and it can be used to bring us together.
I think, yeah, I think that social justice and using technology for good, and it harks back to the ethical point that you raised earlier about applying tech ethically. And one way that we can do this is to improve your society and cohesion and empathy as well. So, yeah. Okay, fantastic. Have you got any imparting remarks for our listeners for our next episode?
Well, my parting remarks, I think, really are about the fact that I think students, anyone learning, deserves so much more than they're getting today. So watch this space, because we're going to be coming along with some great technology to help improve that and improve the lives of anybody that's learning.
Absolutely. Thanks very much, Anne.
Thank you, Laura.
From the team in the future. Okay, bye for now.
Right, thank you.